Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. John Feinstein with us. He's presented every Monday by All American Pest Control, offering general pest control for your home, termite protection, or yard treatments for fleas and ticks. Or you can bundle these services together and save money and time. Visit yuckbugs.com for more information. We say hello to John Feinstein. John, how are you?
I'm good, Jonathan. How are you all today?
We are excellent. What was the best college football game you watched?
Best college football, well, Clemson, North Carolina. It just had to be a number one team going down to the very end. I watched most of the game because it was interesting that there weren't that many close games, at least that I was had access to on Saturday afternoon. And I usually do one of two things when I'm home on a Saturday. I either stick to an Army, Navy, or Air Force game. None of them were playing, so that eliminated that. Or I flip around and just look for whoever has the best game going, and it became pretty apparent, certainly by the end of the third quarter, that Clemson, Carolina was the best game. And I want to say something, because I know Chad is sitting there waiting to ask me about Mike Leach. If you want to look at the way you handle yourself after a game, look at Dabo Swinney, who said that his team got outplayed and then immediately said twice, because we got outcoached, and gave full credit, took the blame on himself first and foremost, and gave full credit to the Carolina coaching staff and to Carolina's players for coming within, you know, one play, a yard and a half, however you want to define it, of pulling what would have been a massive upset. I mean, it's worth remembering Carolina won two games last year. And that in all five of their games this year, they're 2-3, have come down to just about the final play before they were over. So Mack Brown's done a really good job of turning that program back in the right direction.
And before Chad jumps in, I like the idea of going for two. I just didn't like the play call.
Yeah, and I think you're in the majority there. Clemson clearly was stacked and ready for the play. I like the idea of going for two, especially when the other team has more talent. And you don't want to play it out in overtime because the odds are going to be against you. I remember Army in the Armed Forces Bowl a couple of years ago against San Diego State. And I'm trying to remember the name of the running back who had rushed for like 200, Rashad Penny, had rushed for like 280 yards against them. And Army scored in the last few seconds to cut the gap to one. And Jeff Monken went for two. And they converted and they won. And afterwards, when they said, why'd you decide to go for two, take that gamble, he said, because I didn't think we could stop Rashad Penny. We had to stop them all day. And so I thought that was a good call by Mack Brown to go for it. I would have liked to have seen something with a little more misdirection involved, because teams practice two-point conversions. We all know that. I would have liked to have seen something a little different than just a standard standard option play where you put the game in the hands of a very talented freshman quarterback, but still a freshman quarterback.
So, John, you previewed it. I'll go ahead and ask the question. Mike Leach, following a 38-13 loss to Utah, said, and I quote, "We're a very soft team. We got a lot of good press. We like to read it a lot. We like to pat ourselves on the back. And if we get resistance, we fold. I think we've got a bunch of free agents running around. They're thinking that they're special. And then as soon as something doesn't go their way, they want to pout. We weren't even close. I think that at some point they have to embrace the effort themselves." Mike Leach talking about his Washington State team after their loss to Utah.
Well, you buried the lead, Chad.
Oh, about the fat, dumb, and
you
stupid?
Called them fat, dumb, yeah. Happy, and entitled.
Yes.
And I happen to be a Mike Leach fan, okay? I think he's a hell of a football coach. He's proven that at both Texas Tech and Washington State. I mean, I think the year before he got to Washington State, they won one game. Last year they were 11-2. They've been consistent winners the last 5 years since he turned them around. He did the same thing at Texas Tech. He's very innovative offensively. We all know that. But you can't talk about college kids that way. All right? My first question to Mike Leach, and Mike Leach is one of those coaches who has always returned my phone calls, always been available. I'm sure he's that way with most of the media. But my first question would be, who recruited those players who you just called fat, dumb, happy, and entitled? Who's coaching those players? Who hired the coaches who are coaching those players? How can you, like Dabo Swinney, that's why I brought it up, not stand up there and take responsibility and say, I haven't coached these guys well enough. I've allowed them to be soft and to feel entitled because we've been successful the last few years. Take the blame yourself. You know, as I did a CBS minute on it this morning, and I said, the guy making seven figures has to take responsibility and not put it on the guys making seven figures less than he is. And I'm not sure if I were the president of Washington State that I wouldn't fire Mike Leach for this. I'm not sure that I wouldn't. At the very least, I would suspend him for next week's game, at the very least, and maybe, I don't know what his contract says, but fine him substantially. Because you can't just let this go unchecked. He's done this before. He's ripped his players publicly before. But this is so far over the line, you almost can't see the line. And again, I say that as someone who likes Mike Leach.
Why does Rutgers bother? And what could be done here? Huh?
Why does UConn bother, Paul? Why do we? You know the answer, particularly with Rutgers.
Well, but Rutgers is in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
and that's been the issue with them,
because they've got Big Ten money rolling in. Same thing with Maryland. Maryland's not as bad as Rutgers. They'll beat them this Saturday, but they're pretty damn awful too.
Paul,
it's an effective bye. Yeah, it's an effective bye week when Michigan and Ohio State play them. They fired their coach.
Michigan State.
And it's a perennial loser thing forever and ever. I mean, what did the Big Ten expect to get out? They wanted the New York market. Nobody
exactly.
in New York
That's
is tuning in to watch Rutgers.
That's all they wanted, though, Paul. They wanted the New York market. They wanted the D.C. market.
But nobody's watching. Is anybody in D.C. watching?
No, but do you understand? I hope not. But the Friday night, they probably were. Because Maryland had two wins that were looked good on the scoreboard. They crushed an FCS team, Howard. They badly beat a bad team, Syracuse. And I swear to God, I had here in Washington, you would have thought Mike Locksley was the next Newt Rockne after those two games. They canceled classes at Maryland Friday afternoon. The student section was packed. So there were people interested at least going into the game. But the larger point is this. The way this was done, all for money, it had nothing to do with what was best for the athletes, the football players. The basketball teams can compete. Maryland certainly can compete in basketball in the Big Ten. But when this happened, I was talking to David Stern, the former NBA commissioner, who happens to be a Rutgers graduate. And I said, what do you think about Rutgers and Maryland going into the Big Ten? And he looked at me and he said, it's child abuse.
Oh, gosh.
And maybe that was a little bit of hyperbole.
What a great line, though.
Well, it's David Stern. You expect great lines all the time. But maybe a little bit of hyperbole, but he's not wrong. I mean, they're now in their fifth year, I believe, in the conference, each of them. And, you know, the combined scores this weekend, Maryland, Penn State, Rutgers, Michigan, 111-0.
John,
111-0.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, come on.
John, mark my word, because his agent is Jimmy Sexton, a guy who will get a look at Rutgers and be a finalist at the very least is Butch Jones. Mark my word. He was a former assistant coach there.
Yep.
Butch Jones will be in the mix at Rutgers
because
of the power of Jimmy Sexton.
Greg Schiano, who had success at Rutgers when it was in a weak Big East.
Back to the glory days.
All these tie-ins to Tennessee.
You know,
all
the same
Rutgers
thing that Connecticut tried to do, bringing back Randy Edsall.
How about Derek Dooley?
He's available, too.
He's doing a good job in Missouri.
Yeah. I mean, there are plenty of guys who will take the job because it's Big Ten money, not because they want to play in the Big Ten East. but because, you know, somebody's going to make seven figures a year or close to it to coach that football team. And, you know, and the same thing, people said Maryland had to hire Mike Locksley, you know, because they had the death, the kid Jordan McNair died on the field, and all the horrible publicity deserved that came with that, and the fact that it's playing in the Big Ten East. And I think they won one game in two games in 4 years against Michigan State, Maryland, Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. And the two wins came when Penn State was really down right after the Sandusky thing happened, and they beat a Michigan State team that I think went 5-7 that year. That's it.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Some of the $5 biggie bag. John Feinstein with us. Chad, what were you saying about College Game Day during the break?
So College Game Day decides to go to Lincoln. Now, I understand that this is a decision to get two huge fan bases on television with Ohio State and Nebraska. A lot of people ripping ESPN for the decision, though, because they feel like they should have known what was going to happen in that game between Ohio State and Nebraska. It was 38-0 at halftime. It was a 17.5-point spread. I thought Ohio State would beat them badly. I got to say, John, I was surprised to see 38-0 at halftime.
Well, I got to tell you, Chad, I wasn't that surprised in the sense that, I mean, Ohio State had boat raced some bad teams at the start of the season, but clearly they're very good. And Nebraska was lucky to beat Illinois. And Illinois is terrible. So it's not like ESPN, maybe they didn't know it was going to be 38-0. But they had to know it was going to be a one-sided game. But remember, the decision on where they take that show is not always about what's the best game or what's the most intriguing matchup. It's like you said, Chad, it's like, how can we get the most eyeballs on the show? How can we get the most, you know, dumb fans jumping up and down holding signs behind the podium? So it doesn't surprise me that they would go there, but here's the other reason why they shouldn't. They're going to go to Ohio State, Michigan. They're going to have plenty of opportunities to get Ohio State on that show and on TV, obviously, throughout the rest of the season. So why spend that chip on what you think will probably be a one-sided game? I don't completely understand that one myself.
So, John, baseball playoffs about to get underway. I watched a little bit of the Braves-Mets over the weekend. Clearly, the Braves had everything in hand, didn't need to win.
Yeah.
But as a Braves fan, part of me watches the Mets sweep Atlanta in the last week of the season, and I start to think, here we go again. As they get ready to move into October, the losing has already begun. I get that they didn't need to win any of those games for anything, but that's sort of the mentality with this organization in the postseason.
Well, they haven't had much success in postseason for a long time. That's for sure, Chad. And by the way, I was watching the end of that game yesterday, and Brian Snitker went out and changed pitchers with two outs in the ninth inning to bring in a lefty to face a lefty. You know, the Mets, Damon Smith. I'm saying it's not Damon Smith, but Dez Smith. Anyway, he brings in a lefty, two outs in the 11th inning. As Gary Cohen of the Mets said, he's acting as if this game matters, and then he gives up a 3-run homer. So it was a little bit strange to see that. He used 10 pitchers yesterday, and I would be nervous if I was a Braves fan. They played very well until the last 10 days of the season. You know, they clinched and obviously took their foot off the gas, and that's good. Sometimes it's better to be the team that has to play till the last weekend because you're in geared up mode. And the Cardinals had to do that, and they had to come from behind to catch both the Brewers and the Cubs to win the division. So I would be a little bit nervous if I was a Braves fan about this Cardinals series. And regardless, I think the Dodgers have to be the favorites, although if you were to read my newspaper, The Washington Post, you would think that the Nationals are going to go through the playoffs, go 12-0, and win the World Series that way because they're the greatest team in history.
David Reed is our resident Cubs lifer. I asked him last week, because I don't pay attention to the Cubs, how in the hell could Madden even be in question? Now he's out. David said he would have given him a lifetime contract. I can't conceive of the idea that a guy who ends a 100-year drought would not be entitled to keep that job as long as he wants. I imagine you know at least a little bit more about it than I do. What's your take on the idea that a guy who comes in and fixes something that's been broken forever is now going to go manage somewhere else?
Well, my reaction is the same as yours and David's. I don't know what Theo Epstein's thinking. I always ask the question when someone says, change the manager, change the coach. The next question is, who are you going to get who's better? Who's better than Joe Madden? I mean, not only did he do what he went to playoffs four straight years in Chicago, including winning the World Series. It's the first time they didn't win 90 games since he took over. And it's not like they were terrible. It's not like they fell off the map and won 68. They won 84. They had a bunch of injuries late in the season. They did not play well down the stretch, that's for sure. But even before that happened, back in the summer, you know, they were saying, well, Madden may not get renewed because his contract is up. And every team that is or will be without a manager is going to try to hire Joe Madden because he's the best. He's probably the best manager in baseball. I must say, Aaron Boone was amazing this year. He's the American League Manager of the Year. But Joe Madden won in Tampa, where they had never won. They'd never come close to winning in Tampa before he got there, and he got them to the World Series, made them a consistent playoff team contender. And then did what, as you said, what he did in Chicago. If I speak as a Mets fan, I would have him on a charter jet right now and just put a blank check in front of him and say, what do you want to be paid? We want you to manage this team. And, you know, everybody says he's going to San Diego. If so, he's taking over a good young team. The Phillies may need a manager. The Mets haven't fired their manager, but they need a manager. He's gonna have his choice of where to go. He's gonna be a very wealthy man. I am completely stunned because Theo Epstein's one of the smart guys in baseball. It's not like he's Brody Van Wagenen, the Mets general manager, an agent posing as a GM. He's one of the smart guys in baseball, and I don't get this at all.
John, the California Fair Pay to Play Act was signed into law by the California governor. And I know this wouldn't come into effect for a couple of years for the NCAA,
4 years, actually.
But this is leading us down what path? Where are we headed in college athletics?
I believe, honestly, Jonathan, this is the beginning of the end for the NCAA's definition of amateurism. There are other states that are already putting together similar legislation. The NCAA's reaction has been twofold. One, that if this goes through, it will be the end of civilization as we know it, because that's what they do. Reminds me of Bowie Kuhn saying baseball would be destroyed in the 70s by free agency. It's equally ridiculous. And two, to threaten people, because that's what they like to do, too. They'll say, well, if they go through with this, then we'll have to start declaring athletes in California ineligible if they take money. Well, the problem is if 10 states or 12 states or 8 states or 20 states have passed similar legislation by January 1, 2023, when this goes into effect, what are they going to do, suspend everybody, declare everybody ineligible? They won't be able to do that. Eventually, they're going to have to come to a bargaining position. And eventually, they're going to have to finally admit that these young men and women are entitled to make money if they can. And remember, it won't affect a whole lot of players or a whole lot of athletes, because it's not like people are going to be lining up to sign sponsorship deals with the backup defensive lineman at UCLA or Southern Cal or Cal, or with, you know, the seventh or eighth men on their basketball teams. But you know what it does? In addition to that, what will get the publicity is the quarterback who gets a sponsorship deal, or the point guard who gets, you know, makes money off of his autograph or off of his likeness. But what it will also do is it will allow athletes in non-revenue sports to make money during the summer by giving swimming lessons if you're a swimmer, golf lessons if you're a golfer, tennis lessons if you're a tennis player. It's important and long past due legislation, and eventually the NCAA is going to have to say no mas and give in to this, assuming, as I think will happen, many other states pass similar laws.
John, always enjoy the conversation each Monday. Thank you again.
Look forward to next week. Thanks, Jonathan. Yep. See you guys.
Thanks, John.
John Feinstein with us every Monday morning, 11:15 to 11:45.